This is Dubai Eye 103.8.
This is Pets and Vets.
Free advice for animal lovers across the UAE.
Delighted to be joined in the studio this afternoon by Dr. Sarah Elliott. She's from the British Veterinary Hospital. And it's busy, busy at the moment. I feel like everyone's back and back into a rhythm and routine. And then they go, I've got quite a big to-do list. And I think often going to the vet is very much on that list. What's coming into clinic at the minute, Doctor?
Oh, we've got all sorts. We've got a little dog who's hurt her back, which is quite sad, but thankfully she's starting to improve a bit.
How did she do it and what kind of dog is it?
She's a little Frenchie, and unfortunately it's like most back problems. These things happen with the most innocuous of injuries. Most times it's jumping up to see mum doing something daft. I mean, 80% of slipped discs in people are due to sneezing. Which is not falling out of an aeroplane.
Don't know, we've been talking about allergies and people sneezing 10 times in a row. Poor little dog's doing the same. Really, that's an embarrassing one to have to go to the doctor with, isn't it? You just pretend you were doing like rock climbing or something, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I fell out of an aeroplane.
Yeah, obviously. Wild times, not, you know, bit pepper. So poor little dogs. We're talking specifically around certain breeds today and some of the misconceptions, stereotypes and associations we have with them. My kind of most common ones are just the greedy lab is always one that springs to mind. And this is, you know, having grown up with friends who've had Labradors who would come and just, you know, eat a whole raw roast dinner or eat packs of butter or just eat anything off every available surface. Some of these stereotypes are well deserved and some aren't. Can we talk a little bit about some of the breeds that most commonly do have misconceptions around them? And dangerous breeds or so-called dangerous breeds are often a big part of that too.
They are, yeah. I mean, what are your common ones? Your common ones would be a poodle as being a sort of a little princess type
fancy
dog. Yes, absolutely. However, they're one of the most intelligent dog breeds and actually won the whole Crufts show a few years ago in the UK with their ability to retrieve and work out puzzles. So really quite intelligent dogs.
Do not underestimate Fluffy. She will impress. What about kind of dopey dogs?
Dopey dogs. I mean, there's quite a few have got that unfortunate tag. I mean, ones that you could talk about. We were talking just before about your sort of bloodhound type dog, also your bulldog types. I think they're not really stupid as such. They more have one-track minds and they're much more stubborn than we'd like to believe. And we're just saying that a bulldog is designed to grab hold of a charging bull and hang on to its face until the bull gives up. Now, you can't think of too many things at once if you're meant to be grabbing hold of a charging animal's face.
So single-minded rather than stupid. Lazy pugs.
I'd agree with that. They are a lovely breed of dog in that they are one of these breeds that is always, always happy. Unfortunately, they do have short faces and can't do as much as they'd maybe like to. But as far as the happiness gene goes, they got it.
Now, do some breeds have a perhaps fair and justified bad reputation?
I think, yeah, some do. And again, you've got to look at the origins of the dogs. You know, you look at big dogs and it's whether it's the owner's reputation or the dog themselves. Because traditionally you see the trend of a person who wants to either protect their home or wants to look big and tough in front of their mates will go out and buy a big breed dog, which is absolutely fine. But what people don't realise is just how much training that dog needs. Because, you know, if you bought yourself a gun and didn't know how to fire it, then you've got a very dangerous weapon. In the same way as if you've got a dog that traditionally is trained to be more aggressive, traditionally is trained to guard, and then you don't give it specific guidelines, that dog is your weapon.
Which breeds then do we need to be especially aware of and which ones are now banned here in the UAE?
I mean, there's a long list of banned breeds in the UAE. There's 12 banned breeds. Most of those involve your pit bull and pit bull spin-offs. So your American pit bulls, your bullies, your Staffordshire Bull Terriers, or your Argentinian fighting dogs. So quite a few there. Even the Boxer is coming on that list of restricted breeds. And one of the reasons for that is because the Boxer family line is linked very closely to both the Mastiff and therefore the Bull Terrier. So those guys are on the list too.
We just mentioned how intelligent poodles are. Frank is saying, my toy poodle is 2 years old and we've still not neutered her. Is it too late?
if it's a her, definitely, definitely, definitely you're not. Neutering your female dog will not only stop them coming into season and the inconvenience of that in some ways, but it also is a massive protection against both breast cancer in the female dog and also against an infected uterus, which is commonly called a pyometra. So please do so.
And in terms of what does that that's you know spaying look like in terms of recovery, any advice for Franca making sure it's comfortable for everybody concerned?
Sure. I mean, ideally, your spay should be a good 2 months before or after a season to allow everything inside to shrink down nice and small. And it will involve a wound on the tummy, so underneath where nobody can really see. And a normal spay will involve removing the ovaries and the uterus, so there's no more cycling at all of any nature.
So there's no ovarian or uterine tissue in there at all anymore?
No, you should take it all out, and then there is no either, there's nothing there to get infected, and there's also nothing there to cycle. But your recovery will be about 10 days.
You mentioned that if it's a female, then it's not too late there. Would there be a difference then neutering a male? Is there a certain kind of time period to get that done within?
As far as males go, there are all sorts of discussions up in the air at the moment. So, for instance, giant and large breed dogs, you shouldn't neuter too young. You want to make sure that their bones have matured before you actually castrate them. Other reasons, if you've got a particularly frightened, scared dog, then if you remove the testicles, you remove the testosterone, which make them even more scared and therefore more likely to bite. So there are times in which I wouldn't neuter a male dog.
It's interesting that you talk about behavioural changes, because when we had both of our dogs neutered, the vet, you know, vet was like, okay, so this might happen. And it was almost kind of promised in some cases that it might help calm, especially a male dog down. And, you know, the usual kind of, you know, leg interactions that we were not enjoying. What other behavioural impacts can it have? Can it be quite calming on the right animal?
It can be calming. I mean, with your female, whilst dogs only come into season twice a year, every single female out there knows what PMT is. And, you know, dogs can get that too. So it can affect and sort of smooth out our characters.
Don't tell my husband.
With the males, yes, it's the testosterone which is developed is your fight hormone. So if you take away that hormone, then you take away that sort of that dominance and that aggression from them.
So lots of people questioning about the stereotypes, really, the characteristics of our animals. And Sherry's been in touch with the show on 04 871 5500, and he's got a question about his furry friend.
I have an English Cocker Spaniel, 4 years old. How is that breed sort of classified in their experience and their experiences? And also, you know, he's very playful. He's 4 years old. I sometimes feel he's got too much energy, but he has not been neutered. So their advice on that.
Sherry, I have also got a four-year-old male in English Cocker Spaniel. And yeah, energetic would be a pretty strong characteristic of this breed. What else do we need to know about Spaniels, Dr. Sarah?
I would agree with that. So very, very energetic. Often they can become quite obsessed over one thing, whether that is protecting a certain owner or their owner's belongings, or even obsessed with ball games, for instance, that they will chase that tennis ball until they're literally so exhausted they lie there next to it, still wanting you to throw it.
Oh, bless. We find with, because we've got two, we've got Jarvis Cocker Spaniel and Lucy. And Jarvis especially is very into what kind of vets term as high value items. So it could be a ball, it could be not really the shoes anymore, but it used to be the shoes, or a toy that he might take from the girls' room. And he will guard that so fiercely. But equally, I could be sitting down and he'll be guarding me. And the girls now go, is Jarvis protecting you? And they understand that, you know, this is what they do.
They do tend to be quite obsessive over an owner or belongings.
It is lovely. They're very, very loving.
They are very loving. And again, you know, the Spaniels were designed as more retrieving dogs. So they're designed to look after their treasures.
Oh, thanks, my treasure. Emma's been in touch saying, I have a princess chihuahua and a hungry Yorkie. My chihuahua acts very oddly at dinner times. She will not eat her dinner until the Yorkie has eaten hers. The Yorkie hovers around her. They growl and bark at each other. And once that little row is complete, the chihuahua will then eat. Why? It feels like she's just teasing the Yorkie by saying, you've eaten yours in 4 seconds and I have all of mine left. very weird. This reminds me of when my brother would have an Easter egg and keep it until June, just to taunt me about how he had his and I didn't have mine. Is that what they're basically doing?
Absolutely, yeah. It's sisterly, brotherly hate, love.
Torment. Anything to be concerned about?
I think you've just got to make sure it doesn't escalate, because that can develop, you know, depending on their personalities, it may be that the Yorkie suddenly snaps and actually tries to take over the Chihuahua's food, that one day just that bit hungry. So probably worth separating them out and feeding them at different ends of the room.
A question here saying, a Jack Russell Terrier is known to be stubborn, and how do I handle the high energy? I love a little Jack Russell.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, you look at what Jacks were sort of more used for in the past, and they were designed to go down rabbit holes. They were to kill rats that were as big as themselves and three times as scary as themselves, and also to go down rabbit holes. And they never used to think about how to get out the rabbit hole. It was always that the sort of gameskeeper or whoever would expect that he had to half dislocate his arm trying to reach down to pull them out by their back leg or tail. So, you know, you have got that single-minded dog, and yeah, they have so much energy. They will wear any of us out.
So any advice there, or is it just a case of wear them out?
I think mental rather than physical, because unfortunately they get fitter and fitter the more you walk them. So yes,
don't encourage it.
Well, you want to walk them a certain amount, but unless you're going to be doing the Iron Man every day, you actually want to think about some mental stimulation as well there.
Hope that helps. And we were talking about banned breeds and so-called dangerous breeds here in the UAE. Tazron saying, please talk about the Doberman. Are they safe around kids?
They are classed as a banned breed. They are a big dog. Traditionally, they have been very much a guard dog. And one characteristic of the Doberman, the same as a Rottweiler, because they're guard dogs, is that they are designed to attack without giving warnings first. So if you've got a good personality dog, they can be gorgeous. And I've known particularly female Doberman who are beautiful and ever so friendly, but they're a big dog. And you've got to be very, very knowledgeable and have had plenty of dogs before you go for that as your first, as your breed.
It's interesting to Dobermans, isn't it? Because I think they've got a bit of a reputation as being quite intelligent as well at the same time. But my nan had a Doberman and she was like...
What was
like
it called, Danny? You know the rules.
Ella. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and she was quite the opposite. She was just she was the softest, gentlest thing as well, but she was just a gentle giant. And she used to sit, she used to park her rear end, shall we say, on the edge of the couch and just watch the TV and wait for any time that an animal might appear up and just kind of get a bit excited.
Just goes to show, so much comes down to personality, yeah. Doesn't it?
And that's so much a Doberman thing. They love sitting their bum on a sofa and front legs on the floor.
And I know what I'm Google image searching this evening. How are you on rabbits, Dr. Sarah?
Yeah, happy to answer on rabbits.
All right. One of my kids' favourite things is they love talking about, you know, what noises does an animal make? And they'll do like the brrrr for the elephant. And their favourite thing is the rabbit. And they just kind of go.
That's cute.
It's mega cute.
You should try Alexa with hamsters.
What does Alexa do with hamsters?
She talks about how they go num, num, num.
Do they?
Yeah.
Do they?
No.
Alexa. Right. Question here saying, help from the vet required. I've got a 10-year-old rabbit with recently developed cataract. The vet I have seen says she's spoken with a specialist who can remove at vast expense. The vet says if she was me, she wouldn't do it because of his age and I might lose him under anaesthetic. Help. What are the options? Need a second opinion. Nothing I wouldn't do for this rabbit, but I don't want to lose him.
Okay, I think first thing I'd say is that cataracts, you need to check that they are primary cataracts in that there's not an underlying cause for them. Because like all species, cataracts can develop because of other diseases, particularly things like diabetes or steroid imbalances in the body. So you need to get some blood tests and check those out. As far as surgery goes, if it's a primary cataract, then I think you do need that very heart-to-heart discussion, because the anaesthetic risk for your rabbit is quite big, and that will depend on the weight of your bunny or sort of body score more than the actual weight. And we'd also need to make sure that we're happy with the anaesthetic protocols and everything being used. So it is a higher risk procedure, but make sure that you check any other causes, because cataract themselves will stop their sight. But if they develop relatively slowly, they will not upset their day-to-day living. It's more whether you've got another disease that will cause more severe damage.
So worth further investigation and asking some more questions.
Absolutely.
What would you do if it was your rabbit, Sarah?
I would be doing blood tests and deciding what I'd got as underlying and making sure before I took any further decisions.
Hope that helps, Amanda. Wishing you and your Benny all the best. And question here on a fat cat. Message saying, what could be the cause of a senior cat, 12 years old, putting on a substantial amount of weight, over 1.5 kilos in the last 12 months? My cat's not eating masses more, obviously not running around like a kitten anymore. This is a lot of weight for a cat to gain in a year, though. Could there be anything internally that could cause this that we're not seeing? No different behaviour, not drinking extra water, so a bit baffled. Could this be checked out with blood tests or any other further tests?
Yeah, I think we'd have to check Bunny and fat cat, and see whether cat is actually putting on weight or if the body is actually dropping south, which can be a sign that there's lumps or bumps inside that shouldn't be there. So if the backbone is showing more, if the muscle seems to be dropping down to tummy, then that can often be a bad sign. You don't normally see cats putting on that amount of weight because they don't get low thyroid problems the same as other breeds. There shouldn't be anything that really causes it unless you've suddenly developed a foodie or complete change in behaviour of your cat.
Really hope that helps. Rami's saying, got Twix, a Pembrokeshire Welsh Corgi, sleeps on his back in flying squirrel position, tries to herd my two-year-old. Love a corgi. And a message saying, got a miniature dachshund called Crumpet.
I love it.
That's a great name as well. She is so soft and gentle, not at all snappy, not even with Fat Blue One the cat. We've had lots of questions for you, Dr. Sarah. You're a popular woman this afternoon, so we're going to have a quick fire round. Are you game?
Let's do it.
Okay. Message here saying, my dogs have intense anxiety and can't be separated for walks, vet visits, etc. without a wailing meltdown. How can I keep them feeling calm?
I think you answered it yourself. They like to be together, so I don't see an issue with you keeping together at most times. Most good vets will allow you to take in a spare dog to comfort the first one. And if your dog is scared of going to the vet, then do some random visits where nothing nasty happens. You know, just take them in to buy a toy. Go and buy their food. Make sure they're with you.
Neutralise the experience.
Absolutely. Don't make it scary.
And a really unpleasant message to get here, and thank you for involvement in this. We've got a message from Aisha saying, last week I witnessed a kitten hit by a car which was in front of my car. Immediately was paralysed, dragging itself to find a safe corner. Couldn't leave it there. Took it to 4 different clinics to get an x-ray. Is it possible for Dr. Sarah to check the x-ray and let me know if this cat has a chance of walking again? A doctor in Sharjah accepted to keep it for 1 month to see if it gets better. She has sent an image of the x-ray which we will show to Dr. Sarah, but Sarah, we're also going to pass on your email address as well. And what would you say then, having heard that scenario, without having looked at the x-ray?
Without having looked at the x-ray, if you're a week down the line and you haven't got sensation back, unfortunately, it's quite unlikely you will get movement back in those back legs. One of the big problems if you have paralysis is that it often affects the bladder. So they can't go to the toilet, they can't pass urine by themselves. And that's your biggest killer in a paralysed cat.
We will pass on that x-ray to Dr. Sarah and the email address as well. But thank you for getting in touch. And a message here saying, we're planning to buy a dog. We've never had a pet. So which breed would you suggest for a family of 4 with 2 kids, 12 and 8? So it's a tricky one. We're talking about breeds and different, you know, suitabilities and stereotypes. I always say,
I think you've got to go out and you've got to test them. You've got to go and talk to your friends. You've got to meet dogs. You've got to make sure you're happy with what you're looking at. There was a great programme on the BBC 2 years ago that you should be able to find online, which was which breed and what age should I get? And that talked people through whether suitable for your family would be the puppy or the slightly older dog or even the senior citizen that just needs a couple of years.
I love a senior citizen animal because they're trained. They don't need as much exercise.
No, and they just love the second chance.
And they're so grateful to be there. And yes, if you can give an old dog the best years of their life, then absolutely. We mentioned last week about how great the Canine Friends fostering program is, because people who do foster or even walk dogs need to give really detailed feedback on those animals. So do go to some of the adoption shelters and the charities and have a chat with them about the characteristics you're seeing in individual dogs. It might not be a case of you should, you know, get a whippet or you should get a whatever, because there are lots of animals there who need a home, and it comes down to matching the dog with the family.
Absolutely. And I'd also say the fact that you've got kids is stop, think before you take a dog on. Mm-hmm. And remember, you're probably not going to save the world by taking that one dog that has every single problem going. So make sure that that dog is suited to your family.
And it's going to be it's a long term.
It is.
Very long term. And a question here saying, my cat Sherlock, great name. You guys are fantastic on the names this afternoon. Is a really picky eater. He refuses to eat dry food and will literally go hungry for days to avoid it. Is this a sign of a problem, or is it normal for cats of his breed? He's a Bengal.
Bengals are great cats. They're slightly different to the normal cat. They're much closer to the leopard, but they are stubborn. Very stubborn. In many ways, they're more like a dog. They're very, very attached to a single person. I would get him checked out and make sure. Being a Bengal, it may just be that he is more stubborn than you are. But make sure you check his mouth out. Make sure that we're not seeing any other problems. Bengals can have a few hereditary issues, so there are some things to check on him.
We've been in conversation this afternoon with Dr. Sarah Elliott, talking about breed misconceptions and some of those stereotypes too, and loved all of your messages on your animals at home. Our winner of that 2-month supply of Royal Canin pet food is Dax, whose lab Diggs, aka Diago, suffers from amnesia, especially after he's fed, always hungry, but the love of his life. Congratulations. Hopefully we can stave off some of that hunger with some pet food. Dr. Sarah, thank you so much for coming in. Such a busy show today. Thank you for all of your advice.
This is Dubai Eye 103.8.